Gospel of Luke chapter 22. And our text once again are those two verses, 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. We pointed out last week, drew attention to the fact that those two words, to have, are in italics. So they're not in the original. So now we may read that verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you. Desired you. You in particular. That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I believe it is important for us to look over the point we made last Sabbath evening for our fuller understanding of what took place. We'll not go into all the details, but last Sabbath evening we considered the Lord and his warnings for Peter. Peter, the disciple, member of the inner circle. Peter, who saw things and heard things at the hand and the lips of the Lord that the other disciples did not receive. Peter, who had shown great loyalty and faithfulness to the Lord. And yet here we find Peter, the one who we will see by and by, fell. And great was his fall thereof, because he didn't heed the warnings of the Lord. So we considered last week the Lord and his warnings for Peter. The warnings are there in our text, verses 31 and 32. We noted, first of all, that he's cautioned about Satan. The Lord cautions Peter and says to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. So he cautions him. He cautioned the person. Perhaps Peter was one of those who was involved in the discussion that ensued following the Lord's table as to who and which of them should be accounted the greatest, verse 24. And Peter would have done well to have heeded the Savior's words about humility, because the Lord set himself up before the disciples as an example of true humility. He was the one who should be served. Instead, the Lord said that he was the one who did the serving. Notice how the Lord called out to his disciple. He repeated his name, Simon, Simon. Just as he had done regarding Mary's sister, Martha, saying to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Luke 10, verse 41. Just as he had done with Saul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 9 and verse 4. So why the repetition of the name? It was to get the attention of Martha, to get the attention of Saul, and to get the attention of Simon Peter. He called out his name twice. The Lord had very solemn and important words to say to Peter. He wanted to make sure he listened. That's why he called his name twice. The Lord repeated Peter's name to get his attention. Instead of arguing over who was the greatest among the disciples, Peter needed to concern himself about a much more serious matter. While he was seeking greatness, the Lord wants to warn him about his weakness and about being on the precipice of a great fall. So when the Lord speaks to us, we would do well to listen. And we would do well to give heed to what he says, lest we make shipwreck of our lives. Not only the person, namely Peter, there's also the plan. The words of warning given by the Lord would surely make any believer pay attention. Any believer sit up and pay attention. For the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you, that he may sift you as wheat. The word desired, as we pointed out, means demand. Satan hath demanded you. We've quoted J.C. Ryle's words. J.C. Ryle said, the personality, activity, and power of the devil are not sufficiently thought of by Christians. That's true. The personality, activity, and power of the devil are not sufficiently thought of by Christians. We listed a number of things that is written, that are written in scriptures about the devil. And this is the one whom the Lord warned Peter about. Surely the words of warning for Peter are words of warning for us also. We cannot afford to simply dismiss these words. Peter was in the inner circle of the disciples, as we've said, but that didn't prevent Satan from, as it were, reaching into that inner circle and demanding Peter that he might be sifted as wheat. Job was a holy man, a godly man, a man who feared God and eschewed evil, but that didn't stop Satan from trying to destroy him without cause. Job 2 and verse 3. And remember, this is the same one who assaulted Christ and wanted to destroy him also. And listen, if Satan wanted to destroy someone like Job and destroy our dear Savior, he'd want to destroy us. We're not exempt. We need to pay attention to the words the Lord says. What the Lord tells us, as well as the person and the plan, is also the prayer. After revealing to Peter Satan's plan, the dear Savior said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Knowing what Satan's intentions were, what his diabolical plan was for Peter, the apostle was assured of the Lord's support. His prayer support. He was not going to prevent Satan from wanting to see, to sift Peter as wheat, but he was certainly going to pray for him that his faith would fail not. Had the Lord not prayed for Peter, his faith would have failed completely. And how thankful we are that when Satan comes against us, we have one who's at the Father's right hand, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. It was also the pardon. Just as the Lord knew that Judas would be the one to betray him, so he also knew that Peter would deny him. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. For he told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The word converted means to turn around. Peter, by denying his Lord, had turned his back on the Lord and went away. And then the Lord would bring about Peter's repentance, which means he would turn around again. No longer have his back to Christ, but he would turn around. And when he's able to, when he's turned around, he'll be able to strengthen his brethren. It's like someone perhaps has gone through chemotherapy and they've come out of it. And maybe a friend of theirs has to go through the same thing. Well, that person who has already gone through it is able to say, well, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I've gone through that. And our words, those words are able to strengthen that person. That's the sense here. When thou art converted, when you're turned around, you'll be able to strengthen others. You'll be able to minister others who failed the Lord, as you will do. That's where we left off our study last week. And how the Lord cautioned Peter about Satan. That leads us now to look at Peter and his confidence in self. He was cautioned about Satan. Cautioned about Satan. It didn't make any difference. Because that leads us to Peter's confidence. Not in the Savior. His confidence in self. I said before that perhaps Peter did not fully appreciate the words of caution about Satan. Perhaps he did not grasp the gravity of the hour and the serious nature of what the Lord said. You know, we do the same. We do the same. The word of the Lord is given to us, preached to us, or we read it, or we study it. It's as if we just pass it by. We don't take it to heart. We don't say to ourselves, I need to pay attention to this. I need to give heed to the warnings of the Lord that we find in Scripture. Instead of placing his confidence in the Savior to enable him to overcome and defeat Satan's plan, he placed his confidence in self. Look at the next verse, verse 33. And he said, Peter said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I am ready. I have no doubt that Peter meant every word that he said. I have no doubt that he was at that hour ready to go with Christ both into prison and to death. But that was his confidence in self. And that confidence would soon, very soon, evaporate when the test came. And where there is confidence in self, pride will be found there also. That's what confidence in self is. It's pride. You go over to Matthew chapter 26. For there in Matthew 26, in verse 30, here's Matthew's account of the interview between the Lord and Peter. And when they had sung an hymn, just instituted the Lord's table. Very solemn time. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. There's pride. There's his confidence in self. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. The rest of the disciples didn't want to be left out. They said the same thing. But there's Peter's confidence in the flesh. We see there that pride of Peter, believing that he was better, he was stronger, he was superior to his fellow disciples, though all men forsake thee. I won't. There's pride. There's the pride of his heart. There's his self-confidence. I can do it. My fellow disciples may forsake thee, but not me. No, not me. Paul's words come to mind now. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. I tell you, pride has been the downfall of many a Christian. Certainly many a worldly individual. But we as Christians should know better. And pride has been the downfall of many a believer. Because, as the apostle has declared, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the Christian behaves like the world. When it comes to pride, instead of pride in the heart of the Christian, it ought to be humility. And how Peter proved the truth of Solomon's words later. Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble spirit. A man's pride shall bring him low. Peter was brought low because of his pride. Because of his confidence in self. And poor Peter was brought down very low when he denied his Lord and Master with oaths and curses. Evidently, Peter didn't forget his failure due to his self-confidence and pride, because later, in his first epistle, Peter wrote, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, at least we can say, when you look at the words in Peter's first epistle, at least we can say, Peter learned his lesson. He was the man who had confidence in self. He was a man who was full of pride and thought he was better than his fellow disciples. And how his pride brought him very low. And he learned his lesson. Because he was later able to say, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that ye may be exalted, that he may exalt you in due time. Indeed, in due time, the Lord did lift up Peter. In due time, the Lord did restore Peter. In due time, the Lord did give his servant a second chance. So far we have looked at Peter being cautioned about Satan. Peter and his confidence in self. There is something else here which undoubtedly contributed to Peter's fall. Peter and his contradiction of the Savior. It's hard to take in, isn't it? That Peter contradicted his Savior. More warning spoken by the Savior enters the ears of Peter. Look at verse 34. Verse 33 again. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. It's quite a claim. And he said, the Lord said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. But we need to turn once again to Matthew. Matthew gives us a few more details regarding Peter's response to the warning that the Lord sounded in the ears of Peter. The Lord has just told him, Peter, before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. Now you turn back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26 and verse 34. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. There you are. He's contradicting the Lord. Likewise also said all the disciples. Look at the words again. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Thou shalt deny me, Peter. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, will I not deny thee. He contradicts him. He contradicts the Savior. It's hard to take in, isn't it? It's hard to take in that a disciple of the Lord would stand there face to face with Christ and contradict him. Such was Simon Peter's confidence in himself. Such was the pride in Peter's heart that he was quite forthright, quite blunt with the Lord in his contradicting him. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Lord, thou hast said I will deny thee. Well, Lord, I want to say to thee now, I will not deny thee. Here's Peter contradicting the Savior. You'll notice there the suddenness. The Lord said, Peter, you'll deny me thrice. Peter said, though all men die with thee, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Well, the Lord had just told Peter, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, there's the suddenness. Peter has uttered the words, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny. Peter, the Lord said, You'll do it tonight. I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, I shall deny thee. There's the suddenness. Peter said, Never. So he used the word, Never. I will never. The Lord Jesus said, this night. I want you to notice something. We can easily pass over a word and not notice it. Once again, verse 34. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The word I want you to notice is the word verily. Jesus said unto him, Truly, truly, as the word verily means, truly, Peter, truly I say unto thee, truly thou this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Truly, Peter, I'm telling you the truth, as the Lord always does, of course. Yet here's Peter. He contradicts the Lord and he flies in the face of the Lord's word. He flies in the face of truth. Says, I will not deny thee. Even though the Lord told him, I shall deny me thrice. Not once, Peter. Not twice. You'll deny me three times. The Peter's words about going with him to prison and going to death sort of have a hollow ring about them, doesn't they? Whenever Peter denied the Lord, before the cock crow, we wonder how Peter could have been so blatant in his contradicting of the Lord. Yet are we not guilty of the same thing? Maybe not so blatantly. But the Lord gives us his word. And what is his word? His word is truth. Well, do we always obey the word? Do we always take the word to heart? When the Lord sounds out his warnings and sounds forth his warnings, yet how often do we take those warnings to heart? But not only do we have the suddenness of his denial, we also have the seriousness of his denial. Peter had just said, Yet will I never be offended. The word offended is a word which means scandal. The Lord told Peter, Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. The Lord had told them in that verse 31, All ye shall be offended because of me. In other words, the Lord was saying, You will count it a scandal to be associated with me. You will be ashamed to be associated with me this night. You will be offended. You will count it a scandal. You'll be saying, I don't want to be associated with that man. It would be a scandal to be known to be someone who is associated with Jesus of Nazareth. And here's Peter and he's promising, No, I'll never be offended. I will never regard it as a scandal to be associated with thee. Yet what the Lord warned him about would take place. I tell you, it turned out it would be worse than a scandal. because the Lord told Peter, though all, verse 33, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The Lord told Peter, he said, you will deny even knowing me. You will deny that you ever knew me. We go back to Luke 22. And they said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. You'll deny even knowing me. That was the scandal. What a fool. What a failure. Selfish pride can make of any man. And what a failure it made of Peter. Can you imagine? Peter denying ever knowing Christ, disowning him, turning his back upon him. We might say, why didn't Peter listen to and accept the Lord's word and heed the warnings? What heartache was felt? What tears were shed? What disgrace was experienced by Peter, all because of foolish pride and self-confidence. And it happens all the time. All the time. The arm of flesh will always fail, yet how often do we put our confidence in the arm of flesh? How often do we put confidence in self? Well, that's what Peter did. And where did it lead him? It led him to a place where he not only denied the Lord, turned his back upon the Lord, but denied even knowing him. Disowned him. Isn't it as well the Lord didn't disown Peter? But instead the Lord gave Peter a second chance. He was cautioned about Satan. We see his confidence in self. We see his contradicting of the Savior. Each step, see, it's a step, a downward step. Cautioned about Satan. Confidence in self that led to him contradicting the Savior. But there's one more step. We have his contending with the Scriptures. Peter, who later would be restored to the Lord, Peter would be a man who would contend for the Scriptures. But here on this night, when the Lord told them and warned them about Satan, we see Peter contending against the Scriptures. We said it was another step. So it is. Matthew 26 again. He has contradicted the Savior. Now look at Matthew 26. In verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. It is written. The Lord's quoting the scriptures. Where is he quoting? Zechariah 13, verse 7. That's where he's quoting from. All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He contended with the scriptures. He stood against the word of God. He already stood against the word of Christ, who is God. But here's the written word. And the Lord quotes Zechariah 13 and 7. And the Lord tells him, Zechariah has said, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And Peter says, no, no. No, I'll not be scattered. No, I'll not leave thee. I'll not deny thee. That's what he did. The dear Savior quoted the scriptures to Peter and the other disciples, but Peter simply dismissed them. Dismissed what the scriptures said. Lord was saying, these scriptures will be fulfilled this night. Peter, this word of Zechariah will be fulfilled tonight. Peter then in his response was simply saying, no, they won't. That's what Peter was saying. No, they won't. Scripture says that the sheep will be scattered. Peter was saying, no, they won't. No, I won't be scattered. No, I won't turn my back on thee. No, I won't deny thee. And of course, Scripture stood firm. The scriptures were proved to be right, as they always are. And Peter was proved to be wrong. Remember what the Lord often said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they came and challenged the Lord? The Lord would often say to them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Well, Peter couldn't plead ignorance. Peter erred knowing the scriptures. He knew what the scriptures said. The Lord quoted the scriptures to him. And still here, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Peter, ye erred, knowing. You knew the scriptures. You flew in the face of the word of God. You contradicted me. And you contended with the scriptures. And Peter suffered the consequences of ignoring the truth of God's word. We can apply those words to ourselves. We cannot afford to ignore the truth of God's word. We must take God's truth to heart. We must act upon the word. We must not be hearers of the word only, but doers also. We must do what the Lord has told us. We cannot afford to ignore the word. So Peter did, and we see that what happened to him. We see the fool he made of himself. This all, of course, makes very sad reading, as it did for me when I studied these words. Sad reading. Seeing Peter fly in the face of all the Lord's warnings and his word and the truth, and to see him stumble and fall as he did. But you know, we're supposed to learn from other men's mistakes. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." So let us take to heart the words of the Lord. However they come to us, and whatever portion of Scripture they come to us from, indeed we would do well to take to heart the words of the Lord to Joshua. And we read in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That's a good word for us tonight, in light of what we have learned about Peter. We have last week and tonight been considering the Lord and his warnings for Peter. Next Sabbath evening, God willing, I want to look at the Lord and the weakness of Peter. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we come to thee in the light of thy holy word. We pray, Lord, thou wilt help us to give heed to thy word. And when there's a word of warning, may we give heed. When there's a word of reproof, may we give heed. May there's a word of rebuke, may we give heed. Because, Lord, if we heed thy word, then thou will make our way prosperous. If we, Lord, give heed to thy word, we will save ourselves a lot of sorrow and save us from making shipwreck of our lives. Oh Lord, make us a people who are out and out for the Lord, who are out and out for thee. Have us, Lord, to obey the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So, Lord, write this word upon our hearts tonight. And bless us, Lord, throughout this week. May thy good hand be upon us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.